These dark nights were doom, but the lows be the same. Penny for my thoughts, cause you know I'm tryna change. If I ever took a loss, charge it to the game. When we see guys, we don't say. Check.
But yeah.
But yeah, we're live.
Yeah, we're live.
We're broski.
You checking?
I was just about to ask him, you checking? I was saying it to Deji before we... Yeah, you're in the camera. I was saying it to Deji before we started. I was like, I wanted to run jokes on the whole situation. But yesterday I was on a live with like Dongo Congo Boy.
Yeah.
Some people are about it.
they're just
some people, they're about their codes and they're about their section.
Yeah.
The jokes aren't worth about me saying, you that podcast nigga, yeah? Nah.
I swear I know you.
I know you, bro.
I said I'll leave it alone because... I'm not willing to fight for my jokes.
Bro, you're trying to go to Zara with your babes, next minute you're beefing.
Yeah, beefing, man.
I was like, on that live, they were saying Linkos then. If you talk about D15 like that, I'll say, Linkos? To talk about, I was like, you know what? And I've had people tell me, Dave, especially podcast people, they've said things on podcasts and people have seen them outside says, you said this on the podcast, yeah?
Yeah, like, you're the podcast dude.
And I'm like, it's not worth
damn.
It. So, yeah, do you check in, bro?
Bro, I had to check in because I was flying from London. I was like, maybe let me get sure my visa is okay. My GNIV. Bro, yeah, I'm not going to say too much on it, but like, I've always had such an issue with black people like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that like, when it comes to like being on set and stuff, all my sets that I've been on, that have been either mine or someone else's company or whatever, the only issue I've ever had is when black people are on set.
In terms of like what way?
Like professionalism, coming on time. What's the word for being punctuality?
Punctuality.
Just respect. Mm. Knowing that there's a hierarchy.
Yeah.
They just, it's not followed like.
See, because people are going to be like thinking like, oh, there's probably white people are doing this. So do you think you pay more attention? Because I'll be like you, like sometimes I'm even in a workforce, in an industry I'm in,
yeah.
I pay more attention when the black person is late because I feel like it's a reflection on
it
all of
is,
us.
It
because
is,
because they
yeah.
see it. So even if like they are counterparts, as they do, like to call it, even if they're...
Oh, in both people. Sorry.
Yeah. if they're behaving a certain way or a similar way,
yeah.
I don't pay as much attention to that. But when it's like a black person, I'm like, oh, bro, you're coming in late. Or one time, they was like, oh, he doesn't come for lunch with us, but they're telling me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And I felt like... just come for lunch.
Just one lunch.
Yeah,
she's like, stop talking to me, man.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes, I'm actually just not in the mood, bro.
Fair. I barely go for lunch.
Yeah, because you know what it is? Like, I remember the first time first out of college, my first corporate gig, I was trying to do, let's go lunch. Let's do this. Bro, man, it's long, bro.
It's expensive as well, actually. Yeah. But they eat all the time.
Bro. €5 every day, 5 days a week.
€5. Where are you working, bro? I was working in Stevens Green. I was spending at least a tenner a day on lunch.
Yeah.
So you clock that out. That's what, 50 a week. That's €200 a month.
Yeah.
Just on lunch. And that's not including, you know, you might want to pop to the shop quick little chocolate bar or something.
You know what you say, do you want to get something shop, please? Don't say that.
The one thing you're learning about working in town is also, it was too easy to link up with people.
I'm
in town. Are you in town? Now you're eating chicken wings and chips for €15.
Chatting, bro,
them days, I'd be walking down and there's one of these girls, she worked in like Aldo or something like that. So I was like, oh, she walking like, oh, what are you doing? You finished? Oh, let's go, Nando's.
Bro, out of nowhere. Now you're
and Nando's your minimum 15. Like, yeah.
You're 15. That's another thing. But I don't miss about working close to town because it's not easy to be like, let's pop in and get food. Sure, you and Simi used to do it all the time as well. It's pop in and get food.
There's one guy though, I'm freelance, so there's one guy in the company I work in, and I always wait for him to ask me for lunch because he pays for it. He's got bread. I'm not going to say the company, but he got bread. And he always brings us to Soho House. So that's my way into that place, bro. Yeah. So I'm like,
this guy's a bad
dude. I just look at him. I'm like, yo, Sasu, what's good, bro?
Do you do the reach? And you're kind of like,
always, you have to. That's what girls don't understand. But you just have to reach. And he's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry. I think he's from Norway or Sweden.
Okay.
So he comes here, he's a director. So the company he works in is pretty huge. Like, I think you see my story, like you see Coil Array or something like that.
Yeah.
They do all of that stuff. So I always wait for him to ask me for lunch. It's been a while now, so
you know what? Yeah. You're due a lunch soon.
Yeah.
Your bro has noticed. I was like, wait. What's that going nigga on? MP wants. Yeah. That's how he's not. Yeah. Like, every time we go, it's always me that face. Yeah. It'd be nice if he only face once. But yeah, dude, I was outside, man. What were you?
Oh, bro, man, I was not in the headspace to go out, bro. I was tired. Man. I was so tired, bro.
DLT, last year, I didn't get a chance. I haven't seen Dave since then. I was like, I was at DLT, obviously, we're in Dublin, obviously. Mm. But DLT were in Dublin for the first time. And, like, obviously, I'm not experienced diverse in what DLT even do. I've never been to the London or the Malta one. But this one is like, friends of the podcast, Fiona and GB were hosting. I was like, you know what? GB's Dej's brother, they're trying to bring an event to the... Let me step out. Usually, I don't really too care too much for being outside like that.
Yeah.
But let me step out and see what's going on. I'm going, we go for a quick brunch first, and then we pop into DLT, and I'm like, It was given, Dej. It was given. First,
bro,
it was
good. Everybody that... It was given. It says it slapped.
Yeah.
Like, actually was.
No, it was. It was one of the best, like, my favorite events, because it gave... Maybe there was also a bit of nostalgia. I used to go to Red's venue, Urban Fridays.
Yeah.
I knew I showed my age.
I miss Red's, man.
2014 on Twitter, I was like, this is nearly 10 years ago. I used to be in Red's venue. 2023 now. Damn. 2014 is only 10 oh, decade shit. Ago.
I graduated college 9 years ago.
Yeah, you see what I mean?
Crazy. Fuck. So you guys are pushing 30. Like.
Oh, I'm 30 this year.
Yo, you guys are
no,
no, no,
no, no, damn.
You guys are damn, man.
Well, yeah, just on DLT. Then you come in, people were punctual because everybody has their tickets at a certain time. You have to be here a certain time. Yeah. If you leave, you can't come in.
I like that. That's very...
There's downstairs, there's upstairs, everybody's having a good time, and you start seeing the people that we used to go out with, working in the right state, and you start running into them. And
all the people that have been in hiding for...
Yeah, it's all love, because you obviously people... First of all, there was COVID for 2 years anyways, and these kind of events don't really happen within our community anymore, and there's no fights, there's good music. For me, anyways, I really had no complaints. It was one of those things, if they came back, I don't think I could do it on a weekly thing or whatever. Yeah. But the way they did it, if you make it...
This guy needs time to recover now.
Yeah, really?
He'll be home by 11 o'clock, but he still needs three working days to recover.
Damn.
If you make it an event like they did with DLT Malta and everybody, you knew, like, you know what? Everybody's stepping now. Mm. No rowdiness, no messiness.
I had 3 tickets, sold all of them, bro.
Really?
Yeah, what's called? I bought the tickets for, 26? Sold for, like, 50?
Yeah.
Wow. Each?
Yeah.
Damn. Why didn't you want to go?
Like, I wanted to go at first, and then, bro, man, I've just been tired. Like, and I just it was the week after the live show. And
for some
reason, I completely spaced that it was that close. Mm. And bro, I was just tired, man. I just wanted to just chill and just do nothing. So, and then people were offering money for the tickets. Like, people were really looking for tickets last minute. Yeah. And I was like, the 150 that I'm going to make is probably worth more to me than actually the effort of going. So I was like,
especially if you're not in the headspace for it already. Mm-hmm. Like, if Simeon didn't have to make a whole day out of it and you dropped out, I wouldn't have gone either.
Because
I already made a day out of it.
When you stopped doing that, man.
Yeah, I was like, and then there was even a... Like the part because now we have to network and so I'm walking and like I see someone and I kind of look at them and you know when you see someone you think you know them because you've only seen him through a screen
so you're not fully...
you stare too long and he's like you're looking at me like I'm an op. I was like sorry. Then I get shy, I get nervous, I couldn't network. I was like
bro, tell him come on the pod, bro.
I had to run back again. I was going to my friend's babes, looked at me, he's like, why are you letting a man make you shy?
it's another man making you shy.
I was like, do you know what? You're right. I had to spin the block and then that today. But honestly, Michael, if I shout out like GB, Fiona, that's kind of what we need more to happen more and people just go in and have a good time. So I just want to say
it shows that also like there has been a disconnect. So we can do it right.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast so many times, like nights out in Dublin just haven't been slapping like that. So
I can't relate. I don't actually go outside at all.
At all?
No.
Where are you living now?
In London. So I live
you don't
in
even
London.
Go outside London?
Nah.
Why?
I just don't have the time. I actually don't.
This is a busy man, you know?
I actually don't have the time. I'm not even like in a cocky way that I'm so busy. It's like if I'm not working like on set or something, I'm like watching videos or I'm like reading about something or I'm planning something else. So it's like how I'd feel if I'm dancing, enjoying myself, in the back of my brain, like, you could be using this time right now.
Because you enjoy your work, innit?
I do.
I find that people that enjoy what they do, they find doing anything else is a waste of time. Yeah, not a waste of time, but like they could be making better use of that time because they enjoy what they do.
You know what it is as well? It's like when your hobby is your job,
you would
be doing this. If you had your 9-to-5, you'd come home to do this.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I'm doing this anyways. Like, I fuck with it. But actually, you know, so I was, you know, TikTok. As you do, Let me just play it.
Waglet, my best mate has always fancied my missus. I've been with my missus for 11 years and I've known my mate for 9 years. He told another mate that if we ever split up, he'd be quite happily, he'd quite happily jump in there and get with my missus. That was several years ago. I found out and I confronted him about it at the time and he apologised. And a few years went by and we are mates again. We've been going to Airsoft a lot. It's already made me not like you, Lee. However, recently, he's come round for dinner and my missus mentioned that I was supposed to put up a shelf about 6 months ago. And the prick asked where my drill is and then put the shelf up and then paid for a takeaway. The following week, we were watching TV, waiting for dinner in the oven. He asked if there is anything he can do to help, like taking out the rubbish, etc. Am I being paranoid, or is my so-called mate trying to show my missus what she is missing out on? Do you need to have a word with me, or is...
Yeah.
he's definitely clapping it.
Yeah, at least he's trying.
Yeah, I think he has
already.
First of all, even before any of this putting up shelf, all of that. First of all, don't do that. Don't come to my house and start trying to put up shelves.
Yeah, what?
Why are you trying to do make me look some
joke man? Yeah,
no, but that's crazy.
And then your girl is like, "Well, Jerry does the show."
That's actually enough to end the friendship.
Yeah, man.
You're putting up in my house, you're doing, and then they're comparing me to.
Before that, there's enough to end the friendship when you're telling somebody else that if me and her break up, you're in there.
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
The thing is, we've all been like younger, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you're younger, maybe there's a hot girl that you know you're into, and your friend also takes into, you hot. Yeah. But the girl either likes one of you, and you're the one. The other one has to just hold it.
Yeah.
At that age, it's like, you know what? It's fine. And there's even been friends that sometimes they've kissed the same girl or whatever. That happens at that age. At that age, it's fine. Like, you know what? We both thought she was hot. There's like 5 hot girls in our town. Mm-hmm. She was one of them. She happened to like you, broski.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But at an age where I'm living with my missus now.
What age do you think is like acceptable?
What do you mean, what ages?
So, you know, like, okay, that's still happening when you're 16, 17, 18.
Yeah, that's probably 16, 17. Anything before 18, it doesn't really count.
So you're saying more like 8, you draw the line at 18.
Nah, like 21, 22.
22.
You have to be cuffed on.
Because 19, you're still uni days. I can understand that, like, you're on a uni rave, there's that buff girl.
Yeah.
And you think your friend, like, yo, she's buff, you're buff. But then she likes your friend.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Hold the L,
you gotta
bro.
Just be like, you but know
are you, no, but are you saying then that it's okay for that guy if, let's say, for instance, me and you had this girl when we're 19.
Yeah.
And she went for you instead. Mm. But then you're like, I'm done. And then I then jump in there. Are you saying it's still okay?
Is it your girlfriend? Did you like if she?
Yeah, she was your girl. Yeah.
Leave her alone.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What age is it that you have to stop that?
He's right. 2022. I think it's like because I've had friends that I've been in a situation where I went out with a girl and then my friend went out with her in secret and then I ended up lipsing her and she was cheating on my friend with me.
What?
Yeah.
What kind of entitlement is that?
He's still one of my groomsmen at my wedding, so he's still one of my best friends. But like, I was going out with a girl and he started going out with her in secret and then we're at a party, we're whining, like, I think I told this at the live show.
Yeah.
And she told me to come outside again. I thought it was round 2. I was like, yeah, I'm going in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was trying to like... Then I went to lips her again and she lips me again. She's like, I have a boyfriend. I was like, bro, but it's too late now.
Yeah,
too
late. That doesn't sound like my business.
And then she lips again and she says, you know him. I was like, then I stopped. I was like, I know him.
Yeah.
Then she told me the name. Even after that, we both went up to the guy's house. I didn't believe her. I was like, no, you're crazy. I talked to the girl, went to the guys. We knocked at the guys. I was like, cheat is what she's telling me. Is this true? Because we just lips.
Yeah. Did he cry or
what? He didn't cry. After that, me and him even had a one-on-one. We just sat and talked about it. Like,
yeah, because in that situation,
same girl.
Yeah. conversation. But that can happen at 15.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That
so
can
where,
happen at 15 and the friendship can continue.
Like right, so at what age is it? No, bro, I'm not having it anymore.
Like,
post-uni.
Yeah, post-uni.
Post-uni, man.
Post-uni,
you have to have the sense then.
Yeah, because I think in uni it's still a bit messy. We're still a bit like young to start. Like, everybody's like, young and horny. People have freedom for the first time. Introduced to alcohol. I can be like, you know what? We could have maybe crossover in uni. But post-uni, 21, 22, it can't.
I think the guys who do that after uni, they're dangerous.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, those like, you know, you have let's say this guy's your good friend or whatever, and he doesn't get girls.
Yeah.
Guys who don't get girls are so dangerous. Listen to what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm actually speaking facts here. Because let's say you're doing business or something together and a girl comes into the picture, he's selling everything for that nyash. Do you know what I mean? He'll run you over for it. And I have a friend who recently broke up with his girlfriend. She ended it nastily. Nasty, yeah. And the guy was kind of comforting her as like, oh, I'm still there for you. I'll make sure everything is okay. And but like, you know what he did to your best friend. Like, I'm like, what?
If you're my best friend, yeah, don't comfort my girl.
Yeah.
Not even best friend. If you're in my circle, don't comfort my girl.
Yeah, don't.
Don't go over, oh, I'll be there for you. He's such a, why are you doing that for? I'm looking at the camera.
Right, yeah. Why are you there for?
I know niggas that try to comfort my missus. My missus that are with me now.
No.
And I'll see those niggas at events and they try to spud me. it's okay. That one, we're not even boys like that. We're interacting,
we're interacting
on the timeline.
It's the game, yeah, yeah.
I can change that one.
Game.
But if you're my friend, don't comfort my girl ever in your life. Let her cry. Let her sister comfort her. Yeah, you, my friend.
You know what? Yeah, because like for me, there's only, I want to say there's probably two or three guys that I would ever trust my girl. Like I will put my girl in their hands and it's calm. You know what I'm saying? Well, your brother is.
Yeah, I know you're good.
But apart from that, I don't trust my girl around my chest.
Actually, maybe a quick question as well. Let me ask you this, because Taser was on another TikTok. He was maybe I could find it. He was with Margs and he was saying Margs.
I saw it.
If he came over, say for example, I came over to Deji's house.
Yeah.
Deji's not home. He's gone to the shop for a minute, but it's only Deji's girl in the house.
Yeah.
He said what he would do is, you know what? He'll wait in the car until Deji's home instead of being welcomed in and then waiting in the house with just him and Deji's girl. But then Mark's made a good point. Mark's like, so what are you telling me right now? You're telling me now if I leave you in the house with my girl, something's gonna happen. You not trust yourself or do you not trust my girl to be around you? Why are you going all the way in the car? Because if I'm with this girl and you're my best friend, you man's in theory, because I trust you.
Yeah.
In theory can wait 10 minutes till I'm back from the shop
to go
in this house. So I don't know, like, what you make of that situation.
What,
like,
are you thinking about? Sides.
No, I'm thinking about it, because if I was the guy that, like, let's say if I came to your house here and I haven't actually met your girl,
okay,
I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable. Do you get what I'm saying? So I might resign to the car. Do you get what I'm saying? Because if me and her actually haven't met,
okay,
I'm just a random nigga. Do you get what I mean?
That was also a caveat. If I haven't met your girl, if I've seen her in passing, like there's some friends of, like, I've seen their girl. Like Ezzy's here, I've seen his girl, but I don't think I've like introduced myself to her mayor like that. So if I go to Ezzy's gaff now, I'd be like, Ezzy's not here. I said, like, I agree with you. I said, you know what? Until he's home and he can informally introduce us, I'm in the car. But if it's a situation where I have friends, like, I have couple friends. Yeah. And, like, if I go to one of my couple friends, I've been with her missus, we've played games now, whatever. Mm-hmm. If I go to Butcher's house and Butcher's not here and his missus is there, oh, coming away from.
Yeah, that's
I might
calm.
Then be like, you know what? Because I've been around you. So I do understand this, like, maybe we don't have that rapport.
Yeah.
So maybe I might feel comfortable if Ez is just in the back in, like, 10 minutes anyways. Let me just scroll to TikTok. Yeah. When he's back, he can introduce us.
I disagree. Like, that'd be like, if, for instance, if I had a girl and you came to my house, I'm like, oh, Deji's come to the house. They're like, oh, who's Deji? Oh, that big, Stormzy-looking guy. Don't worry about it. He's his old family friend. If she felt awkward, that would be a red flag for me.
Why?
Because you should know that I would never leave you in any harm's way,
like,
or whatever.
The thing is,
you don't know niggas.
Yeah, like,
we don't know what our best friends are like or what they're... Like, I get you. Okay. I get you. Well, you want to think your best friends are good people. Like, your friend, you want to think that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we don't. I have a brother who lives abroad.
Yeah.
I hope, in my head, I believe he's a good person. But honestly, I don't know what he does in Reading. Like, just in general. Like, he could be doing fraud or whatever. Like, I hope he doesn't. But we honestly don't know.
Yeah, like, I remember I was on TikTok and I saw this girl, she put up a video and she's like, oh, my man, they're going to visit her man's family or whatever. And he gave her like a lock to put on the door when he went out. And then his brother was like, open the door, like trying to bust the door open. And she's like, I'm with your brother. Like, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't really know. Like, there's bare guys that think that their friends are their friends. But when you talk to, you know, you got girlfriends as well.
Yeah.
And when they start telling you about
the crazy things
that guys are doing, and his boy left for a minute. Now he's trying to touch me. He's trying to do this. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, so if I haven't met you yet and we don't have a rapport, I might, just because you don't know me. Do you get what I'm saying?
Maybe
and at the end of the day,
make you feel comfortable, because you don't want to be in a house. Maybe just to be like, in this case, like, you know what? She probably doesn't want to be in a house with a guy that she's never met before. She might be uncomfortable. Even though you trust me, she doesn't have to trust me on the back of you trust me.
She would.
No,
nah,
she doesn't
not
have to.
Really?
Yeah, well, no.
I think my missus would.
No, but
do you know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't know your missus, but
I understand it from our point of view, because at the end of the day, if I'm in a room with a girl, I'm not really afraid that anything's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, if I, like, there's very few girls, trigger warning, there's very few girls that if I wanted to do something, you can't really stop me. Mm. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's one of those situations where I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what's happening with you. You just might not feel comfortable with one big black nigga in the house. Do you get what I mean? So
fair enough, I might just chill back. Okay, I feel what you're saying,
but
yeah.
Would you, like, I don't know. It's weird as well. Like, with my friends, if their girl is cool, I'm usually cool with the girl. Like, we're not besties or anything, but like, I'll be able to sit down with
you. For the most part, yeah, I'm the same.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. But I know some people are weird about that. It's like, they don't want their best friend and their missus to be like,
oh, I think that's boys, strange. Boys. I think.
I want them to be cool.
If my missus isn't best friends with my boys.
Best friends?
Yeah, I can't.
I don't need to be
No, he listens to me because if I'm not there,
yeah,
I need to know that someone has.
Like, yeah, but they can do that without being best friends.
No, but I'm not. Okay, I think maybe best friends is.
Yeah, no, because I'm.
Yeah, you have to be cool.
Because I'm projecting how I view best friends okay. onto you right now. Because I'm like, no, really. I don't need my friends to be that close, but yeah.
Okay, so.
Explain what you mean.
You see how me, I'm not going to say me and you are best friends, but we have history, yeah, we have whatever. History, yeah. So if I wasn't able to have Digi and my girl to the same level as me and Yoke, I can't like marry her or whatever. Because
really?
Yeah, the reason is because you're not just marrying me, you're marrying my whole family.
But your family.
So but there's certain people that I said that can be your family. Yeah. Like Digi is someone that I would see as like an older brother family, even though we don't even speak or anything like that. But he'd be still someone there. Same way you see, he'd be like another brother to me. Mm. And then it's only like two other guy friends that I have that I'd be like, this guy's my brother, like ride or die. Everyone else is just acquaintances and you're in the outside circle. Do you get what I mean? Mm. So if those two guys aren't able to gel my girl, I have to rethink.
It's going to be a problem.
Do you get what I mean? Because that's just unnecessary.
But gel to what extent? Because sometimes we could be like cordial and friendly. We can be in a room and talk.
Yeah.
Like my wife now and my friends, we're all very cool. We do games now. We all hang out. But I wouldn't say they're like the best of friends. Like I wouldn't say it's a circumstance that like it's a friend.
Would they go out
friendship
for lunch?
Due to, no, they wouldn't. Like if without me there, it's friendship due to circumstance. If we weren't together, like that friendship dies as well.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of saying? But What I wanted to ask you is, would it be a thing that even if you broke up with your girl, your boys could still stay friends with her then?
Yeah, man.
I've been in this situation. It really depends on the level of friendship that you and, like, let's say...
The girl have.
Yeah, you and the girl have. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? I had friends where guy and girl got together or whatever. Me and the guy were super cool. But then me and the girl became really cool as well. Mm-hmm. So we then built a friendship outside of their relationship.
Yeah.
So when they did break up, I was still cool with both of them.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if we haven't built, like, if we can't have a conversation without mentioning the other factor, bro, why are we talking?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be one of those situations. I see you at the club. Hey, and keep pushing.
No, I was in the same similar situation, except I was the one that, like, obviously, when you grow up, like, you guys all grew up in Navan. So there's certain, like, community that you have together. So we all grew up in Balbriggan, and I was going out with one of the girls, and then me and the girl broke up. Well, obviously, she grew up and she became friends with my boys at the time. So they would, like, even go to Galway. And like, because they're students, so like free accommodation in Galway, let me go hang out there. And like, I wouldn't go, I would stay. But I was like, yeah, because we all built a friendship. But then it made me like cautious going forward. Because so, like, there was moments, I'm not going to lie, it was a bit uncomfortable for me just seeing them like, maybe because it was still like, I was maybe still hurt by the situation, insecure by the situation. And I'm still seeing my boys be cool with her.
Yeah.
And then I'm still be like,
It was her, but like.
Yeah, so like, I then became a bit cautious going forward. It's like, I didn't really want my boys and the girls that I was seeing to get that close. But now I'm in a situation where I'm like, you know what? If they did, I'm married now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to like sometimes if they pop in my house and I'm around the shop, they can come in and sit down and wait for me.
Yeah.
But I think about that level.
But I also have one or two friends that, like, if I'm not there, find them, because they will treat you to the same level.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah, that's what I want to be. Make sure if you're in the club or something and some guy is trying to grab your nyash, I want to know that if my boy's in the club, you can run to him and say.
Or if you're super drunk, she's in the club, make sure she gets home.
Hang up the phone. I know you got this. Do you know what I mean? So that's
I would check in, but I know that there's, once again, two people that I know that if I make that call, I'm not in the country, I don't need to check in again.
You call her when she's home or whatever.
I do, because the dynamics, there's obviously in that story, he's definitely either trying to replace the guy. In that specific one, the TikTok that you sent.
He's trying
to replace the guy. Like, don't do the manly things around the house, because to be fair, like, women are drawn by this and they're attracted by this, and it's to see a man being a man or doing manly things, like, women, it draws them. It's even more a part of it is like biological. They can't control, like, to an extent. If they keep seeing you taking care of them, building things, buying security, them food, security,
and
providing.
Especially when your man isn't doing it as well.
Especially when your man can. They're attracted to that. So don't come to my house and put up any shelves.
No. Because that guy, he's in love with your gay babes. Yeah. He doesn't have a crush. He's in love with her.
I think he slept with her. And then he's trying to convince the girl, oh, please just come to me. Ooh. So now he's in the house doing little things to change her mind.
Nah, but that's blatant though. Like you're not even trying to be slick about it. Like, you're doing this
bait
thing.
But you know the thing is, he probably thinks he's being slick.
You know what I mean? He's thinking, I'm just a good friend.
Yeah. You know the niggas that think they're being slick, but you can see through them. Like, bro, I'm familiar with your game.
My guy said, do you need any help washing up? Bro, why are you washing plate in my house? Bro, don't watch play in my house. Are you crazy?
Unless you're my boy, you're a guest.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, unless you're
I'm breaking your leg. Like, why are you doing that?
Has that been happened to you, Mans, where maybe you've done a thing with a girl, but you didn't want her to continue any further. Mm-hmm. But then she went to maybe someone you know, one of your boys, but low-key she's still trying to move back to you. Like, you and her done a thing, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The thing fizzled out.
Yeah.
Then she went to someone you know or one of your boys. And you're like, you know what? Calm, I didn't really care like that too much. But then, she still wants you. So she's with your boy. Still trying to move to you.
There is a situation, but I can't talk about it on the podcast.
Then you said, if I speak, as she just saying that right now, let's do a quick
No, because you know as well. Because like, I don't know if he knows.
Let me plug the intro. We will talk about it. We have a few things to plug. Anyways, then we're here. We are charging. Mm-hmm. We are the podcast with the highest level of analysis the culture needs. I'm Uncle Jabo Kenneth. You can call me Jordan. I'm here with...
You know it's your girl's favorite voice? Big Ditch, nigga with the Midas touch.
That's so long. Every time I hear you guys injured, I'm like, oh, hurry up.
So many people have a problem with my intro.
It's two statements. It's funny. It's just, for me.
We wanted a clear intro that people, when we say it, they're like, because I started listening to podcasts and I was like, people have like their own specific intro. Do you know how nice to be? Like, nice to be like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I was like, I want to. I want the intro for myself because sometimes they just introduce themselves. They're like, oh, who are you here with? I'm like, oh, God, that's kind of dead.
But you know what's funny? We didn't have a conversation about it. It just kind of happened.
Yeah,
it does happen. Yeah. My friend had a podcast, it just ended up happening. But I was on, I was behind shooting.
Introduce yourself first, brother.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. My name is Oluwato Miloba. But my friends call me Kenneth or Kenny.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, I'm just catching vibes with the guys, you know?
Yeah.
Man, you're behind the scenes though.
Yeah, of the shooting their podcast, like, because VP wasn't there. And you know the way VP wasn't always...
He wasn't always on camera. Yeah.
So they were doing the intro, so I was like, is Kenny Ken in the cut? Yeah, but...
They just stopped
already. Yeah. They just looked at me and said, okay, all right.
But you know what though? Every time we have a guest here, we tell them to introduce themselves. Some people come up with some corny
stuff, yeah.
Sometimes I love the intros because I love seeing Deji's reaction. Well, I think it was like, oh, PZ.
Oh, that was
I'm
it.
I'm here to make your life easy. Deji was like this. That's one of my all-time favorite recording. Well, let me plug a few things real quick. As you can see here on the tables, the boy got Aroms candle.
This podcast is brought to you by Arom Candles. You know, the candles that make you get your girl pregnant, the candles that smell fantastic. You know where to get them. Arom Candles. If you buy 5 candles, you can get the 6th one free. You know, come on. Also, watermelon margarita. Stone.
Is this black owned business?
No, he's right there.
Oh, white owned business.
Look, Irish owned business, bro. Cool, Irish owned business. Business, bro. They actually smell proper nice, man. It's not. We're not just saying this because Ezzy's in the room, but they're leng, man. Yeah, so you know what's called. We have last week. You saw the girls sniffing the whole episode. They were just sniffing the candles up.
And what I was gonna say is, by this time the episode's out, you have to check us on every podcast that we've done. Man, we've gone to podcast road. Check out Bar for Bar. Check out what's it called?
Get the gist.
We're on that as
pre-drinks.
Well. Check out the pre-drinks. And by the time this episode's out, we're next week on If I Speak.
Is that coming out next week?
By the time this is out. It's all, okay. Yeah, so it's going to be the Monday after this is out.
Okay.
So check out If I Speak. We've also, like, Don't Worry Your Head Out. Go find that as well. We've gone on the podcast Irish Run over the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. I think we've covered all the blocks, so check us out on every single podcast if you haven't seen us anywhere. But
I think there's one left to cover.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's neither.
There's these two girls.
Oh,
Black to Babes
on Tapes?
Babes on Tape.
No, is it Babes on Tape?
Yeah, I think so. They're recording the same as Where's Your Head Up?
Yeah.
Is that where they record?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they, if you're here, if you're seeing us, Vision Lab is a place to record because you're seeing fantastic setups. There's lights, there's cameras.
If you want to be a rapper, if you want to be a podcaster, if you want to come take pics, you know what to do. Go on visionlab.ie. You get 25% off. We'll charge you 25. You can come try your hand out, all this stuff. Also, for the ladies, if you want to get your eyebrows laminated,
is that Alion Brow? I don't know what is
Alion Brow Stylist or something? Yeah, I put it in the last one, bro. If you're booking, let her know that Charger sent you. She'll give you Charger 10% off. You know,
that's everything plugged there. Yeah, we've put everything. So how are you, bro? When did you move to London?
I moved to London. I'm good, by the way. I moved to London almost a year and a half now.
Nah, let's even start from the beginning. Because the beginning. Like, first things first, I'll give you flowers, man. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Remember our year-end episode? And I was talking about there's people like you and named the other bunch of people that like, bro, it's like you guys are living your dream, man. Mm. And it's crazy. It's crazy to see from where it started to where it is now.
Yeah, so you were there from the beginning.
Yeah,
so,
bro, it was the craziest thing. Anyways, I'll let you tell your own story, man.
Yeah, so where do you want me to start?
Like? From the beginning, like, what do you do?
Right,
how'd you get into it?
So right now I'm a cinematographer. I direct here and there as well. We don't have the big budgets. I direct and do cinematography. And cinematography is a bit different to videography. So videography is just kind of one-man camera, but cinematography is more on a bigger scale, if that makes sense. Mm. But yeah, in terms of where I started, it started on Snapchat. When Snapchat was created, me and my brother saw the gap in the market of like vlogs, but like short form. So we went on Snapchat and started making like little funny skits and stuff. And we'd like rake up like 4K views, 5K views. And we're just like, oh, we're lit. Like, we've gone clear. So we were just making bare content and stuff. And then I was like, I want to move this to Instagram and make like Instagram skits because they were popping at the time. You know, all those... Those just Instagram influencers making those skits. So I was like, let me do my own. And that flopped. That was so bad. But I was like, no, I'm enjoying the process of editing and stuff. So I then got a camera. What I was shooting on. That was my first... it was an old crappy camera. But I got the A7 6 and started going to any barber shops, shooting bookshops, anything I can get my hands on to just shoot. So I was just shooting and... thought I was the bees and I was like, yeah, man, I'm sick. The best in Ireland, man. No one else.
It's funny you say that because there is a certain level of delusion that you also need to chase those dreams. I was listening to the podcast this week. They were like, you have to be a bit delusional to think that, like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do a living. Because if you look at the statistics or you look at, like, reality, it's hard to just, it's easy to discourage yourself. Like, there's so many podcasts. Why am I going to do a podcast? So you need a little bit of, like, nah, man, my one's gonna pop.
I'm that guy.
But I'll just speed up the story. So it just came to the one of the days where I'd done these little small gigs and what was that thing he's dancing? Unplugged. I did Unplugged. I did loads of little small bits just to get practice. And then I was like, nah, I'm moving too slow. I hate slow moving process. I want to just dive in and go head first. So I was like, I need to be quicker at editing. I need to be better at storytelling. So I did 100 vlogs for 100 days in college. And I got to about 70 or 67, something like that. And I crashed and just burnt. But what it taught me was like, I can do this. All you have to do is set your mind to it and you're good. And just be disciplined and just keep going. And it's not that anything has to be perfect right now. But you'll see the growth when you keep going. So if you look at the first vlog to like the last vlog, yo, it's like one of them is Minecraft. The other one is HD cinema movie. You get what I mean? So from there, I met this guy in college. And I went over to his dad and I was like, hey, I really like your business. It was the rolled ice cream. Mm. And I was like, he's like, oh, it's not my business. It's my son. And I was like, I was looking at this guy. This guy is like probably the same age as me. And I can have it. I'm very competitive, so I was like, I can't have it. So I went up to him, I was like, hey, love to do a video for your business. He goes, yeah, come over this week or whatever, shot the thing. It actually turned out really well. And from there, it was just like kind of a snowball effect. Eventually, I met a girl called Onai who hired me for a job, and she was like, oh, it's 400. And I was like, the 400 isn't really what I do. Do you get what I mean? It's like really small, but she's like, look, please. It'll go big or whatever, but I believed in what she was saying, and I was like, 400. We are rich! We are rich! You get me? I was like, we're rich. So we did the shit. We did it. We shot it. And it got a lot of good traction. Ended up getting funding for our next video. And then the next one happened. And then I was like, oh, maybe I can do my own funding. So I started applying for funding for myself. Got that. And then I was like pretty booked and blessed. At a certain stage, that was pretty.
Yeah, there was a point where Kenneth's price went from here to.
Yeah, I was pretty booked and blessed. Freelance, wasn't working any job. Quit all my job, and I was living rent free in a friend's house as well. Mm. Everything was whole happy and bliss. And then got a message that, oh, it's time for you to go. It's time for me to what? I'm staying here, bro. I'm like, that message kept eating me. And then my friend was like, oh, I'm going to move to London. But I always wanted to go.
Oh,
to
you got it, like, not a literal message, but in
a message, yeah, in my head, yeah. So my friend was like, oh, I'm moving to London with a few people. And I was like, oh, London's just another island. I don't want to go there. I was like, I want to move to Paris. But I was like, I don't have the funds or whatever to do any of this. But then I called my brother one day. I was like, oh. You know what he's like. You know what Steve's like. So I called my brother one day. He's like, yeah, man, I got the message. You need to go. Like, you need just some stuff over there you need to learn or whatever. And I'm like, damn, I'm going to lose all the connects. Going to have to start from the beginning in London, this big ass city. I know no one. And I was like, I don't even have the money. How am I going to go? What? Like, I need at least $5,000 to go over to settle and stuff.
From this, yeah.
I was like, look, Lord, I accepted it. I said, yeah, I'm going to go. And then I said to everyone, I'm going to go on this day. I just set the date. I said, this is the date we're going to leave. Regardless if we have accommodation, anything, I was like, I'm going to go. Then we're shooting that film that we got funding for. And I crashed into a wall. I fell asleep on the wheel. Crashed right off the car.
Jeez.
Yeah. It was a very scary experience. But couple of weeks down the line, insurance gave me $7,000. Insurance, I think it was like $8,000. And
oh shit, I got the money now.
Yeah, I'm bricking. I'm like, oh my God, my car, everything. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so, like, you know when you crash, it's, I don't know if you've crashed before, but like, it was very scary. And it was more scared because there's a passenger with me. Mm. So if I kill this passenger and I live, I'm dusty. Like, I'm just going to be so like heartbroken, basically. Anyway, $8,000 in my pocket. I'm like, cool, let's do it. So we just moved over, didn't have a job secured, didn't have accommodation, just moved and lived in a hotel for quite a while. It was very stressful. Like, we're just in this box, felt like prison. Mm. Just eating takeaway.
You didn't have family or anybody in London?
No, don't know anyone there. Yeah, hell. I just said, let me just go. My friend's, she's a girl, and girls, they're just stressing ever since. I don't have a job, what are we going to do? We don't have a house. But like, even though internally I'm still being beaten by all this emotion, it's like, I'm like, God's got it. Like, let me just leave it. I was like, there's nothing I can do. And then get a call. Hey, you got a job working in this place? I was like, cool. Nice. So start working the job. Ended up meeting VP from 90s Babies. That's how me and him are connected. And then I was like, bro, if you ever need someone to shoot at your event, just give me a shout. I'll do it for free. He goes, really? I was like, yeah. Me, I'm thinking this long term, 10 times down the line, it's gonna pay off. So, I'll do free stuff. Still to this day, I do free stuff.
Because especially if you know where it's gonna
lead. Yeah. Even sometimes I don't, but I always just do the free stuff.
Yeah, because even not to go to your story, but I was listening to Literally Into Babies. The guy said he wanted to meet Richard Branson, and Richard Branson was coming to an event. So he said, you know what? Let me set up the chairs for free. Let me set up the chairs in this event. Because he said, if I approached him and asked him, can I meet Richard Branson, he'll say no. Mm. But if I offer him something, and then, because it's like, this man, people don't want their time wasted. So if I'm willing to offer him something to take some time off his mind, then he'll let me meet Richard Branson. So
what you said there is that time is so valuable. And also, I don't believe in getting something for nothing. Mm. That's such a poor mindset. If you're out there seeking like, oh, come do my show or come do this, and you're not giving any value back to them, you're actually a joke, man. But anyway,
I'm sometimes guilty of that we don't like asking people for things. Like,
you should.
We should just ask people for things. But sometimes we're like, we have that mentality. It's like, I just don't want to ask of something without me feeling like I'm offering something to you.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, obviously, you know, your brother calls me to take him to the airport sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, when it's my turn to go to the airport, I know I can just be like, yo,
you just call come me,
get
me.
But I just like, bro, let me just get the bus, man. Like,
we're both, because we should have just asked.
I know for a fact, if I called him, he'd be like, yeah, sure.
No, I know problem. For a fact. If he heard you say that, he'd be pissed. He'd be like, bro, what are you doing? Like,
I know he'd be vexed. I just, I find it weird asking for things.
That's
I don't
same.
Know.
Hey, I'm the same.
But fast forward, I was working in that place for a while and had 6 months contract there. And I was looking for other jobs. I got a job as head of video in this company. I won't say the name, but got to work with like really cool chefs. Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, man.
Kenny Tutt, he did.
Is that an act with Gordon Ramsay?
Sorry?
Is Gordon Ramsay, is he acting?
He's nice, bro. But he's also very like, you turn the camera on. He gives you a line. There's no take two, take three, take two. Is the only reason you're doing takes is for safety, for coverage.
Yeah,
so if we're doing one shot here, they'll do another one, do it just for coverage
and
the edit.
Yeah.
But as soon as camera's on, he's got his lines, everything. There's no, oh, sorry. It's like, you know the way he talks, like very much, he's just on it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just years and years of practice.
Years, of course, yeah. But he's on it. And he's very passionate. What I've seen with chefs, they're all very much like what you see on TV. So he is a nice person when he's outside the kitchen, but when he's in the kitchen, that's his passion. And I understand when I'm on set, like I want to curse people out, but it's not my nature.
Because
if you're messing around, don't mess it. But anyway, continuing the story, I left the that place and went to a different company. So I've worked 3 places, and then finally I was like, I need to take the leap of faith. I'm not happy and I hate film now. And I'm like, why do I hate it? It's because I'm working in these like corporate places.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to just quit my job. So quit my job, went freelance. A good month and a half, no work, no nothing. Then my friend hit me up and said, hey, this is a short film. We can get you on as an AD. So I'll take it. I took that. And then I remembered when I was working about a year ago, I met this guy on the train and I was like, hey, I'm telling the story wrong, but I was talking to my friend. We came back from lunch. And he was like, oh, I really love serendipitous moments. And I was like, serendipitous? What does that mean? And he was like, oh, like happy mistakes.
Happy coincidence. Yeah.
Yeah, that. And I was like, that's a beautiful word. And my vocabulary sucks. So I was like, I'm going to start using that.
So then, that's
what
you can throw it in today.
Yeah. But yeah, me and my friend were coming back for lunch and we're on the train and these two guys were drunk and they were talking about the Trinity 2. And I was like, what was that? And they were like, yeah, we had it on set and it was like this. So I whipped out my phone. I said, Trinity 2. Oh, Steadicam. It's those like. So I went, I was like, oh, you guys talking about the Trinity 2? They were like, oh, you know about that? I was like, yeah, man. Like, I can't wait for it to come out. And they're like, are you a Steadicam up? I was like, no, I'm not. but I'm just came here from London. Like, I really love the craft. He's like, look, if I ever have anything for you, I really like serendipitous moments. He said that to me.
Mm.
And I was like, this is a sign. He just said that word. And nothing happened after like 3 months and I get a call one day before like I was leaving my job and he was like, hey, can you come in today? We can't pay you, but like it's I said I'd give you something. I was like, yeah, of course. Told my job I was sick, went to the place and I worked my ass off, bro. They were like, can you get waters? Sprinted shop, went back. Yeah. They're like, can you get the food? I was like, they're like, oh, it's like 50 minutes down the road. Can you drive? I was like, I can drive, but I'm not insured in your car. He goes, okay, fair, I'll go. I was like, no, don't worry, I'll go. Run back with Nando's. Sprinting. And then at the end of the day, they were like, bro, like we've never seen a runner like that. And I was like, oh, I'm not a runner. I'm actually a DP. I just wanted to work with you guys. You seem like really cool people. And they're like, cool. It's like, if you ever have anything else, we'll hit you up. Nothing again happened for about 6 months. And then this guy calls me up and says, hey, there's this music video for this Christian artist. And I was like, oh, wow, I'll do it, definitely. And it was €75 for 2 12-hour days. So that's nothing. But I was like, I'll take it. Like, I'll do it. So I did it. I'm jobless anyway. And I did that job. And then again, to most recently, let's just speed everything up. Most recently then, the first AD hit me up and goes, hey, there's this job I can't do. It's 250, but like, no, 350, but look, you get the experience of like just being on set. And I was like, oh. Look, I don't really do stuff like that, but I'll do it. That's 250.
God, you know what they say? Yeah. Act like you've been here before.
Yeah. I was like,
he goes, knows the rules. Yeah.
He goes,
all right, I'll take it.
he goes, it's for J.O. And I was like, he goes,
you know that song? Excellent, when you feeling me?
Yeah, that was the joke. And then I was like, I don't know this J.O. But anyway, I went on set and on the set, they were like, okay, Kenny, what are we shooting first? What do you mean, what are we
what
shooting
are you asking
first?
Me?
But I'm the first AD, it's my job. But I was thinking I could just bluff my way through this whole day, collect my 315, go home. But I remember I was on a short film when I was broke, and the whole time, I'm very observant, so I can see what this guy's doing the whole time while we're having this conversation. Just a gift God given me. So I remember I'm doing my job on set, but I'm watching the first AD the whole time, and that was the reason I was there. So I was watching all the things he was saying. He was a nice person, but he was very stern. He was like, do this, do that, do that. Then I just, I don't know, something just flicked in me. I had a prayer. I went back into the toilet. I just said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. Obviously, I can't bluff my way. I need help. So I don't know, that moment, the Holy Spirit just took over me. I was like, okay, guys, we're going to shoot this, shoot that, shoot this. Ended up like rapping 30 minutes before we were meant to finish. And they're like, whoa, bro, like really like you, whatever. And then from there, I'm just kind of like their first AD that does the shoots, and just kind of rolling, snowballed. I went, did a shoot with Porsche, Corleone. I'm just like kind of name dropping now, but
what's good? Brown Thomas,
Brown Thomas. But yeah, that's my story.
That's kind of cool because I was listening. There strikes me.
Sorry, it was so long, by the way.
No, it's a podcast. Like literally, we have time.
We got shit but time.
You talk on the podcast. Sorry, that kind of strikes me as a guy that like you take opportunity. If even without knowing where exactly it would lead, you see, like, you know what? It's an opportunity in doing something I love doing.
Mm.
So I'm going to take that and then go for it. Rather than saying, like, is it paying me? Because you say you've taken jobs for free. You've taken $12 shit for €75. You've taken... Now you're name dropping people. So that's kind of the... To just see the progression of, okay, I was in Dublin. It always strikes me, like, when is the moment that people have the, like, you know, something flicks in your head, it's like, I want to do this, or like, I'm going to go all in for this. Because I know with the podcast, I was talking about it with Digit the other day. I remember listening to Brilliant Idiots, and I was driving listening to Brilliant Idiots. I'm like, this would be so cool to do. Like, the moment, and I was like, oh, that'd be cool. So when the chance to try to the game came, I was like, I've never listened to podcasts except for one podcast. So I was like, I don't know. And I did the first podcast then. I was like, the minute I did it, I was like, man.
It slaps.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So like, when was that moment for you on Snapchat? When you're like,
I was actually like a, pardon my French, but a pussy-o. Like, I was not able to talk to anyone. I don't think you met me. Maybe you knew before. But, like, I think, obviously, being in... You know, like, I was in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, obviously, being in foster care, that really took me into my shell. So I wasn't able to talk to girls. I wanted to barely guys. And then black people, that was a whole different ballgame because I was surrounded by white people
for
the second half of my life. So,
yeah.
So from, like, 13 to the rest was white people. So it was, like, very tough for me. And I think we always have it in us that, like, I want to do something. And I don't think there's a moment of, I don't believe that there's a moment of, oh, I'm going to do it now. I think it's just, you've just had enough. I'm going to do something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But sometimes it is. Sometimes when your back's against the wall. And you
have nothing else to do. So but like, yeah, so like, it's like.
Either come out swinging or just take this beat.
And it's one of those things about like also just trying. Like, because the thing is like, bro, when you're not getting paid to do 100 vlogs in 100 days,
yeah, I mean,
bro, it's long, like, bro. Especially you got college, you got your 9 to 5. You come home from your 9 to 5, it's like
it's tiring.
Do you know how annoying it is? I just close one laptop to open another laptop to edit.
It's 5 a.m. in the morning.
I found out as well in the last 6 months, especially, it was like it's so hard to work hard or something you're not passionate about or you don't care about. Like, I understand why he was like, I was doing corporate gigs. So I always say to my brother, like, there's no corporate gig I can enjoy. I support Chelsea Football Club. But if I was working in the corporate side of Chelsea, I just wouldn't enjoy it. I just know, like, even if you're working for Chelsea, no. Whereas I see Savage Dan, for example, he works in, like, the media side of Chelsea.
Yeah.
He gets to talk to Chelsea players. He gets to be like, you know what? That's what I like. So there is, especially when we'd have a bit more traction over the last 6 months with the podcast, people have, like, seen it. And it's so easy to just... say like, okay, we're recording 3 episodes this week. This needs to be edited. Yeah, we need to do merch. I can just be like, you know what? It's still hard though.
Yeah, it's obvious. And you're still like the effort. It's but the you effort, do it. But
I can just lock in better.
Yeah.
Whereas
if
I'm sitting in my office, I'm like, this needs to get done. This needs to get done.
Yeah. You don't know how many times.
I don't care.
My work laptop is here. I'm editing here. They're pinging me about work, but bro.
You're like, 2 seconds, guys.
Bro, like that happens so many times. Like, oh, like I might not have edited. You know, sometimes in the morning I wouldn't have edited a clip. And it's like, Jordan's like, this clip needs to go out today. So I'm there.
I'm on it.
Move the mouse.
100%, because I've never, like, apart from football, but I played football when I was young. In my adult life, I've never had like a hobby or passion that I'm like with football, I could go play football Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, I just played football 4 or 5 days a week, and it didn't feel like I was playing football 4 or 5 days a week because I love doing it. But in my adult life, I'd never really had like a hobby or passion when I'm like, I just love doing this. Yeah. Somewhere along the way, I just stopped enjoying football.
I have side passions here. Because I think, although you do love doing what you do, you can get tired of it.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I have chess, I have gaming.
Yeah. Anything in moderation. You need everything in moderation.
Yeah,
the point I was just making, it's way easier to work hard as something that you value or you want to see progression in. Yeah. Whereas sometimes you're saying, like, it's like, man, I'm doing this. I have Excel sheets here, open here. I have this open here. But I just can't work hard at it. But I see people in the office, they're really working hard.
They're like, we love to do
that.
But you know what it is? Yeah, some people are just so comfortable with getting their 50k a year, having the 22 holidays, being able to book 1-2 holidays a year, and for them that's all they want. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I'm low-key jealous of those people. You know, like, because it's just. Do you know how annoying it is to be ambitious?
Yeah, true. I get
like,
you mean,
you're sitting there and it's like, even if you're like, right now I'm in a good job, things are going well and everything. Yeah. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, bro, I don't want to fucking do this shit.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, I could probably take the whatever, it's the 60K a year, the 20, if I would be more okay with it, doing something I love doing. If we were doing this and they told us, you're going to podcast, but you're going to get to 60K a year, but you're only going to get 25 days and you leave. I'm like, I'd be more okay with it.
Oh, bro,
you know what I mean? It's not that, it's like, it's not that I wouldn't be okay with that. It's just what am I doing to get that? Would be like, I don't, that's
what I weighed up. I was like, I'd actually rather be a bum searching what I want to do than have, because I had a really good job. I was getting paid really well for someone my age. So I was like, I'm happy with this, but I was like, I can stay here and continue to get that extra 1K a year or just see what.
I wish we discovered podcasts a bit younger.
Yeah,
but like when you were in college when you started to film.
Yeah, but I think when I realized that you can't be a sissy anymore. And I just tried everything. Mm-hmm. So I did clothing brand, I did YouTuber, I did podcasting, and then I was like, all of this is fun. But I was like, I don't want to spend my time.
Yeah, that can be, but I can just be like, let me put all my effort into podcasting. Like, not yet. Obviously, mm-hmm. we hope we get to a certain level where we're like, you know what. We earn, even if it's a base of like, do you know what, Deidre, on 40K a year, let's give this a year. Like, let's just go all in. Mm. And if it doesn't work, we could always go back to the corporate job.
For
now, let's just go all in until. So I wish maybe if I did it a bit younger, because now I'm on a stage where I'm like, I just can't be like, let me go all in on the board. Like, yes.
The thing is, if we were podding when
why
we
not?
Were in college.
I'm married, mortgage, I just can't.
There's bills
I can't do certain things. Yeah,
I don't agree. Like.
Oh, you don't agree?
No.
So you think I should just leave my 9-5 so I'll put my
own. I would never suggest that. What I'm saying is, if I was you, I would.
Okay.
If you're saying this is something that, let's say you found what you love and this is it, and you're like, because podcasting bring you on TV and bring you on this.
Of course.
Podcasting and interviewing and chatting is what you want to do.
I agree.
I would give it up. And the reason I'm saying that is because I was like in London. I was like, oh, I'm happy I had this job and stuff. But like, I felt like, I wouldn't say depression, but I felt something like that's on my chest. And I'm like, even where you're saying you're doing Excel sheet, you're like, oh, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
That eats away at you slowly.
100%.
100%.
I hear you.
Making that jump of, okay.
This is what I want
to
do.
If I do, I need to do this. If I don't make money doing this, I'll die. So let me just go all in, which in actual fact, it's like work just comes then. It's like you've burnt your bridges behind you.
I hear you.
So it's like you've no return.
It's like fire or flight.
Yeah.
Like,
basically.
Yes and no, it works. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what it is, I feel like some people, there's a point where you make that decision, right?
Okay. Yeah.
If you're not doing all you can do while you're working that 9-to-5, don't quit your 9-to-5.
Because
when you quit your 9-to-5 and you have all that time free, it's hard to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to spend that 9-to-5 hours working on whatever I did. Because the thing is, I did that. I was working in the first company I was working in, and like, I hated it. I was like, I just fucked this. And then me and my boy started the company. So I just quit. And I was like, yeah, cool. I'm doing the company thing.
Yeah.
And that was it. And like, obviously, it didn't work out. We didn't do enough. We didn't plan enough. We didn't do enough. And like, once again, like I said, I didn't wait to reach that point of like, okay, at this point now,
this is taking so
it's
much
detrimental time. To me to be at work I need to leave. Do you get what I'm saying? So like, it's a calculated risk. Yeah. Whereas
that makes sense.
You were already at the point where it's like, my 9-to-5 now is actually just stopping me from doing more of what I
want to
do.
I agree with you. Yeah, guys, listen to what he said.
No, actually, the thing is, I don't think you're actually wrong. I actually agree with part of what you said. I think there is sometimes you just, like you're saying, do you know what? If you're going to be depressed doing what you do, everything, just dive full in and try to make what you're doing into an actual reality. At that point, like, I 100% I agree. And sometimes I think it's like, what I enjoy doing right now, I feel like it's not at a place like you did photography, videography, and that industry has existed maybe a bit longer than podcasting itself. Like I always tell Dij, podcasts have really been around for 5-8 years. Like maybe you've been listening for about 4 or 5 years.
Since 2015?
Yeah, 7-8 years most. Sometimes I feel like, okay, I'm seeing people quit their job to do full-time podcasts that I've rated for years. And they're like, only in this year, they're like, oh, we've quit our job to do podcasts full time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so maybe this industry as a whole, it's getting to that stage now where you can monetize it. Whereas I feel there's certain industries like videography, photography, we've been watching movies and you've just found a way to like short form content. That's where it was now. The TikToks, the Snapchats, and the short movies. And you saw it and you're like, you know what, there's a market for this. But the industry existed. Whereas sometimes I feel like this particular industry, I know what you're saying, there's interviews, it's being built more so and more so. And people, so I would also think like calculated, it was like, okay, just think about it, calculated. You're doing this, you want to do this for a living. How feasible is that? You're seeing podcasts who are like flying.
Yeah.
Like you think they're flying, but even them, they're doing other jobs, side gigs to just maintain. Yeah. So why not me as well stay in my job and then grow this brand? Because very rarely do I see that like, oh, they're podcasters and that's all they do. Like most podcasters, even they do like event planner, even like the Tasers and Chucky.
I think
the one, DJs, event planners.
I think one of the girls on the receipt still has a 9-to-5.
They use all of them, one who quit.
Yeah, but you can, because the thing is, at the end of the day, like I know the podcast is hard work, but it is very, very, very possible to do the podcast and a 9-to-5.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree.
We show up once a week to talk, so.
I just think that, like, if let's say, for instance.
But I do agree with your stance. Yeah.
Like, obviously, I'm just using 90s babies as I think some of them are still working, but I'm not sure. But they have like about 5 different videos that come out each week. So like,
they stopped working. They all stopped.
They all stopped working. Yeah. Oh, okay.
They said on an episode, yeah.
Right, okay. But yeah, so for instance, let's say you were like, okay, we're getting good traction.
Yeah.
But the only way you can get more traction is if you have more videos. Content. Yeah. You know what I mean? So if you're like, yeah, I want to, we want to be making more content.
Yeah.
The video that you're already struggling to get out or whatever,
yeah.
you now have to make like clips and stuff. And and people think it's easy. Well, you don't know what's going on back here. But like,
they don't know the pain of recording the whole episode and there's no audio.
If you're like, oh, we're putting 2 episodes out a week and then we're putting out like
short form content.
It's a lot of time. So that's what I'm talking
about. No, I understand. Yeah. Trust me, you and Dej have done that. It's just about then finding the time. Yeah. And
you've lost the guy as well.
It's fun though. So it's actually fun to hear your story. But even listen to your story, it's like, there's a lot of like, God got me. God, a lot of fate, man. You just leave things in the hands of God.
Always, man. Oh, bro, no.
Fair enough, man.
Bro, there's not a day where I'm like, this is my own accord. Even the Brian Thomas shoot that I did, I was shooting the video and I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, this is so above me. I don't know what's going on. Someone saying, should we move the light? I say, yeah, move it.
A lot of it is faking it though. A lot of us are just here. Like when I'm in the office, because I'm like, I was new, so I didn't have the knowledge. As my knowledge is catching up, I'm like,
so we're all faking it.
I don't know how to use Excel.
Bro, I don't believe anybody's proficient at Excel.
Bro, I use Excel every day.
That's how YouTube channel then.
I don't believe
this. There's only certain people that, and there's the ones who make the YouTube videos.
That's what I said. Nobody's proficient at Excel.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Some of the, like, obviously, because in accounting, I use Excel every single day, right?
Okay.
Bro, some of these managers, these guys are doing formulas that are 3-4 lines long.
That's what doesn't make sense.
It's what's called, it's taken from this sheet. There's this macro that's, you click it, it does all of this. Like, if that is what proficient at Excel is, no. I'm not that.
Proficient, if you can do equal sum, and then you don't forget the bracket. What am I not doing?
It is very much faking it. Even on the set, like, I'll tell you a story, it's just, on the set, the camera was set, ready to go. And I was like, oh, let's change the lens. So we changed the lens to like a tighter one, so it's nice, close up to the face, nice and soft. And the screen's black. My monitor is black, the client monitor is black, and the kind of crew monitor is black. And I'm looking at it, this is what I do. I go, change the light there. And in my mind, I'm screaming. I say, why is the screen black? The camera's on. I don't know what I'm doing. God, please. I'm praying. To me, it's like an hour has gone by, but obviously it's been like 2 minutes. But
and the thing is, everybody else who said things to you have a clue. Everybody's trusting you that you know.
But look.
Wait, let me.
Oh, you're not doing it.
So I move closer to like start examining the camera while looking around. And I'm like, And I was like, okay, cool, guys, ready to shoot? Everyone's like, yeah. Took the lens cap off. The whole time, the lens cap was on. I was scared. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But, yeah.
It's also like, especially when you're under pressure. Yeah. Those little things, you're like, oh, fuck, I'm probably a kid. Oh, yeah, shit, I did too. It's like when you're looking for your keys and you're stressing, like, what the fuck are my keys?
You know, when we did the training one-to-one episode, that the audio was all fucked up. You never guess what happened?
What?
The USB just popped out a tiny bit. That was literally. But I will say, right, one thing I've realized in this life, bro, faking it till you make it will get you into different places, bro. Like once you say you are something, people will take you as that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because nobody has a clue what they're doing. Not nobody, but a lot of us, everybody is winging it. So if you say it with enough conviction, like if you tell me about cinematography and videography, you can bullshit me. But if you say it with enough conviction, I'd be like, this guy knows what he's doing. Like, I think
you need to learn. You need to fail to learn.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of people are so scared to be a failure. But being a failure is actually you winning.
Yeah,
because I've
win or learn. That's like John Kavanagh wrote a book, Conor McGregor's coach. It's called literally win or learn. Yeah, basically.
And I've there's so much failure that I have, and like I want to share that with the youngins, people who are just underneath me, or even people who are like your age and like, oh, I want to jump into that film place, and we do that. But there's so much failure that I have that is giving me the success, and I think the more you fail, the quicker you. Yeah, better.
But people don't see that though. They just see you winning. They just see you like, oh, Porsche, oh, Coil Ray, oh, the 90s babies. They're seeing that. Yeah. But they're not seeing like, I didn't have work for 3 months. I did shoes for €75. I did shoes for free. They're not seeing that. So it's sometimes difficult for them to be like, oh, no, you need to fail. But they're looking at your life. I'm like, man, you're winning. This guy has it easy for you.
But you know what it is as well? I feel like Instagram is a big problem for that as well because people don't actually realize how long it is in between posts. Like they'll see Brown Thomas, then they'll see Porsche. And that might be 3 months apart, but they only see, oh, Kenneth's doing the craziness. He's doing this, all this. Yeah. But it's like, bro, you don't know that I was 3 months in this hotel room just thinking, what am I going to do?
Chicken chips, where's the next job coming from?
And I like that you said that you want to pass on knowledge because people get to a certain point when they've made it. I'm like, whatever perception you have, they like, they'll feel like I'm on a different level. I'm in certain rooms. And then they have crab in a bucket mentality. They don't want to share that knowledge.
I won't, anyone, but I have serious issues with black people when they talk about that. When they say they're going to do stuff and then they don't. Like, there's a lot of people who have said that we want to help the younger ones and help the young. I'm like, I've not seen that.
You
talk a lot of whatever, and I'm not trying to beef anyone, like whatever, you do what you want to do, but you've given me your word of, yes, I'm going to bring someone. So if you were like, I'm going to start bringing one teenager to come in and just watch you and how you set up, and then just,
bro, please
don't
come.
See that. Yeah, I mean,
please come.
No, we would love to bring someone. No, I get what you're saying though. Like you act like you're about it, but you're not. It'd be easier if you didn't say you're about it and you just went about your business. So I do hear that because there is people also that you'll see that like if I was in these rooms, if I was in this situation,
I'll bring someone up. Yeah.
I'll bring people up with me. That you see them in those situations, you're like, you're enjoying. It's good, you're enjoying. But don't say that was your intention. I'm not mad at you for enjoying, but don't be like, then you're setting expectations. It's essentially what happens to like pastors. You're preaching. Now, because when you fall, we judge you more harshly because you're preaching. But if you didn't preach,
no one would say anything.
Nobody would say anything about that.
We try and bring on, we have a short film this weekend, and we try and bring on, they don't have to be black, but we try and just bring on people who are younger or whatever. Don't want to come in. They don't even have to be young. Imagine you just said, hey, man, I want to be on set. Be like, cool. We'll give you 50 euro, pay for your travel, pay for your food, and come on set and just learn.
Okay.
And just ask questions. But as I was saying earlier, that we've had issues with having black people on set. Like, we've brought people on and they'd be like, yeah, I wanna, I'm passionate about this, whatever. And then they tell you last minute, oh, I can't go. And I'm like, why? Oh, I just.
Nah. Does that disappoint you more?
Yeah, when so black, so yeah, heart wrenching. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Bro, like, you're telling me that this is your passion or whatever. Yeah. And I've, most times we don't have it in the budget, and I take out my cut, or me and the producer, because it's our company, we take 25, 25 and give it to you. And we're feeding an extra amount. So for you to then be like, I can't do this, or not give a reason like 3 days in advance, like it's we're fine if you gave a
notice.
Yeah, and just say, hey, I can't make it. Then we have time to bring someone else on and say, hey, you've been hungry for it. Come on, do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's not just us you're hurting. You're hurting other people who want to be on set.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, just.
And I can see why that annoys you more particularly, because throughout your story, you've talked about taking up. You've literally given an example where you've taken opportunities.
Yeah.
And you've turned it into something. So I can understand that, like we're giving you an opportunity that maybe you would have liked to have had when you were a bit younger and you're seeing someone else treat you like, come on, there's nothing here.
Bro.
If you were to do something that I would do for free.
Yeah, bro. That's, no.
Now, yeah, sorry, Dave.
No, but yeah, no, it's weird. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people that sit here and they say that, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this. Mm. And when you throw out the opportunity to them, like, for me, when I had the company, and one of my things is I wanted to help, like, my people and, like, people that I fuck with and all that, yeah, like, yeah, get jobs and, like, get experience and all that kind of stuff. And there was one dude... There was one guy, yeah, he was looking for a job, he was looking for this and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, look, like, obviously it's just me and my partner now, we're still very small, but like, look, if you want to come in, we can do some like intern work and like, you can then put it on your CV, because we were a legit company, we had we had everything, do you get what I'm saying? So like, if you just said you worked with us for 6 months, you've got 6 months more experience than the next man. You're looking for entry, this guy just never showed up. Bro, and like, the thing is, it's not like, you know, Navin is tiny.
Yeah.
He lives just down the road. And like, when I'm chatting to him, like, yo, like, are you going to come in or whatever? And it's like, I'm almost having to beg you for something that you asked me for.
Yeah,
like, bro, that shit just pisses me off, because I'm like, I'm genuinely trying to help you now. Mm. But you're just, like, you're talking that you want to be helped, but you just don't want to be helped.
Yeah.
And that's acting like they're doing you a favor. Even though you asked me.
Like, I'm doing for free.
You're looking at them like, bro, you're
free.
It's okay. Like, next time, you look at them like, ask me again next time. Mm. And then it's like, a lot of it is networking as well. Imagine now you didn't show up. There's, the next day is like, what's he like? Oh, he didn't show up on the first set.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say that, but he's blacklisted for us. Like, he's not. Yeah. We're not going to bring
him. I understand that.
But if he'd gone on that set, there is a award-winning gaffer there. And one of the Ireland's leading first ACs, the guy who does the focus, those two, talk to them and say, hey, can I be a water boy? That's you're sorted. If someone else sees you, like, I'm just thinking, like, bro, are you actually, like, thinking about what's going on? Like,
well, people just wonder, do people want to come in at the top level?
That's what I was literally about to say. People want the result and don't want to put the work in.
No,
and
they don't
want to see that, like, okay, I have to go. And they just want to, they see you, they want to be you without doing what you did. They're like, oh, I want to be that, especially because you're black. You look like them. So like, oh, I want to be him. Mm. But then you're telling them like, no, this is the process I've taken. They're like,
if I said to you, give me a combo stand. You don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, How can you take my job? Like,
he said you're not my level.
Yeah, like, and it's not even like a flexing thing. It's like, you actually physically don't know the names or the reason why these lights are here or why I'm doing this.
Go on. Like, and even on that, it's like, they think that you did that thing, you know, because you know that that's why you have the job. They don't realize that, because even on the way here, they're like saying, like, some people look at a comedian, he does his shirt topless. And other comedians look at him and be like, oh, he's a topless guy. People only like him because he's topless.
Yeah.
It's like, you take your top off and see if you'll have the success that you have. Yeah. They'll attribute your success to one thing.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
one thing.
Then you do the one thing.
He knew them man before. Like, they liked him anyways.
But they don't know this connection. Like, he knows VP. That's why people
use mine as the foster care. Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, like, you guys, you said it too, though. I know it's not a nasty way, but they've used it as like, oh, you've never known hardship in like the black community. Do you know what I mean? You don't know the sufferings that I've gone through.
It's different suffering, but yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
What is? Is,
oh, okay, it's okay. I thought you mean like, yeah.
No. It's different.
Like, you don't know the hardships that I've gone through or whatever. Like, I can never judge you and say you've not gone through anything, but you can't say I can't. We've all gone through some stuff. Yeah. So for you to give my success to being in a certain place.
In a certain condition, yeah.
I
feel like people underestimate the power of just being seen. Just somebody seeing you and say, that's why I always say we need to just go out more and just be outside more. Because, bro, when you're outside, people are just like, remember that guy, yeah? Like, even when we had the company, yeah? So, we did like this course.
I actually saw you guys at RDS. I went for Friday and you guys were there.
Because you know what I was doing? I was like, all right, we're trying to set up a recruitment agency. Mm. Why not go to where like all of the jobs people are and all that kind of shit? Try and meet as much HR people. Mm. Bro, I was just on LinkedIn scrolling through. My LinkedIn now is over 500 connections and 90% of them are just recruiters and hiring managers and all that kind of stuff. And I was just making sure, like, we went to the first time we actually got a job up, like somebody actually said, oh, I'm looking for whatever. There was two times. First time we went to go do this course with this guy, Galinda. He's gone to Dubai now. He set up his second branch in Dubai. He's doing all this madness or whatever. And through speaking to him, he just fucked with us because like we're young, black, starting our business, whatever. So he fucked with us. He's like, oh yeah, come here. And he knew somebody that was looking for an accountant. So he linked us up with them. And then the next time he told us to go to like one BNI, like one of these Irish meetings things or whatever. Bro, this thing is like 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. in fucking Dublin. But I'm like, you know what? You just got to be seen. Yeah. Go there now, speaking to this woman, some woman that owned the recruitment agency, she sold it for millions or whatever. Yeah. And she's on the spot. She's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm looking for such and such, such and such. And just by being around.
Yeah, just being, yeah.
Because the thing is like, bro, do you know how long it is to get up to go drive to Dublin at 7 a.m. when I don't have to? I don't have a 9-to-5 right now. Yeah. But it's just like just being outside and just meeting all those people and being like, and that's the thing, leaving that first impression. Yeah. Like, you know when you're like, I'm not a runner, but I will break my neck today. Like, I'm not going to be doing bullshit.
Bro.
Because, bro, like, that's how people remember that shit. Like, people always say, people remember how you made them feel. Do you get what I'm saying? And it's like that now, like, even for me, right? I got a new
guy that's blacklisted because he made you feel like...
bro.
Don't waste my time. I hate time wasting.
Bro, like, the job that I just started, like, a month ago, right, was just because... one of the girls I knew from ages ago, I referred her to a job and like we kind of kept in contact. And now every time she kind of moves, she's like, oh, if the recruiter asks, I was like, I know this guy, here you go.
Yeah.
And then they hit me up. I wasn't even looking at it, did the interview, landed the team. And it's like, bro, just being there sometimes and leaving good impressions will get you so far.
I've come to the conclusion that in life that, how I'll explain it is, you know, overnight sensation musicians, and then they only drop one song, you'd never hear them again. It's because, and then you might see another person, they're like overnight sensation, but that person has been doing music for time. They've been dropping music, doing this, no one knows about it. But then one song hits, and then they're still continuing to grow and whatever. It's because they've been working their butt off the whole time. And it's like, okay, when my opportunity is there for me, then you have to be ready to take that and grab it and make it yours. But the people who want that overnight success, you can actually get that. It happens. So for instance, if a person is doing film one day and they're like, oh, I want to be in the big film. And someone sees something they've done and go, hey, I want you to do this big film. When they do that big film, it's going to flop because they've not done all the preparation. They're going to crash and burn. Do you know what I mean? And then no one's going to work with them again.
Yeah.
So it's like, you need to understand that there's so much more work you need to do and it's hard, but those lessons are what makes you get that long longevity.
I hear you. Longevity. There's a saying that says it takes a whole life to be an overnight success. And sometimes when that happens, at least then there's like a saying that's like, I always used to think about it as well. I was like, I want people to find us when we're good and there's a catalog behind us. When you come to us on episode 60, you're like, whoa, these mans are good.
Look at this trash. 60 episodes.
then you can go back, but people then you'll think that you'll still see their like pop or whatever. It might be a thing they're looking at us like, man, these mans are good. They just popped up overnight.
Yeah.
And we'll be like, really?
That's literally the situation we're in now.
Yeah.
I've seen the growth. Obviously, I've seen from the jump. Because I was watching it, I was like, oh, did you know the podcast? I was like, I'm actually glad that it's picked up and stuff.
Like, people, like...
And let me just give you a flowers. Fair plays on the show. Well done. Well done.
What happened to Piece of Cake, actually?
Nothing happened.
That was you.
Nothing happened. Like, really enjoyed the whole process, but I was moving to London and for some reason, everything just aligned. Clement said, you know what, like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. It's not what I want to do. I want to do more animation and stuff. I was like, you know what, fair enough. I'm moving to London. And then I was like, in London, I started planning, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. And I was just like, oh, it's not what I want to do. Yeah. So I just left it. All the podcast kit is still there. Nothing happened with podcasts. There was no beef. There was no...
Now, sometimes it just feels like that. We they tried a second turn doing the podcast. So the one we did before just kind of fizzled out. It wasn't. Yeah. We just said, you know what? There's no beef, no nothing. We remained friends. Everything was cool. We just kind of...
I think, but you need to try it to see where it gone wrong. I think, obviously, you've learned so much from doing it the first time. You're not starting from the
beginning. The thing, like, I was speaking about the industry changing earlier. The industry, by the time we start wanted to do it again, the bar was higher. Because when we were doing it before, there was no real bar. It's like, you put it on, you just record, you put it on SoundCloud, and it's out to the world. That's it.
You tweet it once a week.
Yeah, and then you move on, you leave it, you come back next week. So by the time we wanted to go back around again, and that was a bit, like I always say, I was a bit apprehensive. Because there was a bar now, there was a level, and there's like, shout out to them, where's your head at? We're doing it at such a big level in Ireland. And I was like, if we can't even aspire to do that or be at that level, what's the point? Like, what's the point? And then people were doing like the studio setups. It's like, we used to do this from like our mom's kitchens.
Yeah.
We used to do this
my from like sitting, room.
Sitting rooms. So then, like, I'm talking about podcasting, it just moved so quick. But it used to be on SoundCloud, and then I'm looking at it again and I'm seeing clips. I'm like, yo, the game over 2 years to start doing this. The game just elevated. So that kind of played a part that it was at a level now where if you want to do it. And also, we start seeing money start coming into it. Let's be real.
Yeah.
We start seeing Spotify deals became a thing. Like, Three Shots got a Spotify deal. And then you're seeing Receipts get a Spotify deal. Like, oh, imagine if we stuck at it, but it's not too late. Run it back. I put the tweet up. I was like, I don't know where this podcast can go or will go or what it would be. Like, honestly, we don't know sitting here. But I enjoy what it is for now. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy chopping it up with Dave. So I'm like, you know what? Just me and Digi, we're just going to push it as far as possible. If it comes to a time that meet us after 7, they call it a day.
Yeah.
Can we look at ourselves and say, did we actually push as much as we could? And for the most part, I would say right now we have. We push it.
Bro.
Yeah, we push it as much as we can. So, like, I think that's kind of why the progression really came from. Yeah.
Moral of the story, we're not overnight success, man. We got episodes.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to ask you guys, what do you charge to the game this week?
Come back to me.
What are you charging to the game this week?
I don't know how to answer that.
All right, so pretty much, what charges to the game is any L's you might have taken,
any inconveniences. Anything
it doesn't even have to be recent.
It could be recent.
You know, sometimes when you see something and it's just like you can't even get mad at it. It's just, charge it.
You know what? I'm not doing personal charges. I'm doing. I've seen Poe's howlers. This is Jordan's charger. I'm introducing a topic segment.
Go for it.
This is for one next every week. I'll have more and more charges.
Yeah.
This is for one. George's charger of the week. I was on Twitter the other day. Yeah, scrolling through as you do, and I see one guy catches his babe's cheating. As he catches her cheating, she's cheating in the car. He opens the door. She's still on top of him.
She's not getting off.
And he's trying to reason with her. He's trying to say, "Just get off him, man. Just babe, why are you on him?" She looks at him. She's still sitting in the naked. And then she looks at him and he's filming and she's looking at him. And then she says, "I just don't love you anymore.
Don't make eye contact with me while you're on another man."
And he's still filming. And after she said that, he said, "Please get off him." I was like, "Oh no. That is the shortest. What are you even doing in that situation?"
The thing is, if I catch you cheating and you're not even startled, I just have to walk away.
What can you actually do there?
Because if you're not startled, you're very comfortable with me catching you.
Bro, he was trying to reason with the babes.
Look, he's in love.
They don't want to be loved like that.
Oh no.
You know that moments of passion murders?
Yeah, that's
No. In that moment, I can understand when someone blacks out and be like,
everybody
catches hands.
I'll turn to OJ.
I can understand why you could black out. Like, he's still filming. Maybe because he was filming it, he didn't want to look like the villain. Like, I can understand if there's no camera.
He was filming and talking.
He was filming like, while she's like on top of him and she's not even looking at him. And she looks at him, "I just don't love you anymore." And he's still trying to reason. He's like, "Just get off him."
And what's the man
then?
The
nigga's just sitting there with the vagina on top of his cock, man. I don't even know this guy. What's happening? But he's still fucking you, girl. Are you all trying to reason with this terrorist?
If I catch you cheating, at least be startled.
Yeah.
At least do it.
Yeah, you just, oh my God. It was him. Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Yeah. It was just a mistake. She looked at him. She looked at him. Do you know why he must... I don't want to put it on him because he's a victim in this situation. But the fact that he was probably still pleading and still trying to reason with her, yeah. He must have been a villain.
Nah,
he, you know, his camera must have been catching
up. Nah, you know what? You know what, yeah. He wasn't toxic enough. She was bored. She was bored. I'm telling you.
Wait, do you think you need to be toxic to keep a girl?
No, you don't need. You don't need. You don't need to be toxic. Yeah,
be a bad boy.
You can't let her. You can't let her get bored. If your girl gets bored, it's
no. I agree. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. You need.
I'm like, I slapped that bit, but I have that natural toxicity.
Yeah, because you know what? Yeah.
but what you mean? I mean, what's natural toxicity?
Sometimes I'm just a bit toxic.
Well, like you just give me examples.
So okay, let me give you an example that I could give. You know, sometimes you're in the gaff.
Yeah.
You just want to annoy them to just style them, and then when they do get annoyed, you start to be like, "What the fuck?"
I was just joking. Yeah, yeah. You start crying.
Women, man, they just can't take jokes, man. That's why you guys don't have
humbles. You know my favorite thing to do. Yeah. My favorite thing to do. Yeah. So you know like when you're with your girl or whatever.
Mm.
And there's other people around. You start provoking her, but nobody else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she reacts, and then you're like, "Oh, bro,
no,
what's this?"
Don't hit me again.
That kind of fun toxicity.
I get what you mean.
And then they're in a mood, and then you're like, "What are you in a mood?
What are you mean for? Don't ruin the whole day." I hear you.
This is my favorite line. So this is what we're doing now.
Is that actually gonna have a finish today?
So like, you just want to ruin the mood, huh?
Yeah.
Or even if I'm guilty, like since we're out and it's date night and it's on me, but there's like football on. I'm on my phone checking scores, and sometimes like I'll be checking the scores. There's a cheeky little funny message. I'll click into it and laugh. She's like, "So you're just going to be looking at your phone?" I'm like, "See, I knew you were on date night."
yo, bad guy. But you know what? It's right. It's like, it's friendly. It's not too... It's not vicious.
Your role is to annoy your girl. If you don't annoy your girl, do you really love her?
Yeah, you don't.
My role is to give my girl the ick as many times as possible. What
are
you
going to
do? Like?
This is what you chose.
You love me.
People be sending my tweets to my girls. Like, why do you think she's going to do, man?
Yeah.
Like, I showed her before I tweeted.
I got one.
It's
not even that bad, but it was just a bit of an L because there was loads of people on the street. But anyway, I was walking out my house. I have the recording, but I was walking out my house going to one of the workplaces I freelance in sometimes, and talking to this guy I met down the road. I was like, "Hey man, like, yeah, we should go for a run, blah blah blah, just friendly." And then I see a neighbor. And obviously, I'm from Calvin, so we all like, "Oh, Harriet, you're like, yeah." Do you get what I mean? So I saw her and I was like, "Hey, good morning." She said, "What the fuck are you looking at?" And I was like, "Oh, I just said good morning." She said, "What'd you say?" I said, "Oh, just good morning." She goes, "Do I know you?" I was like, "Oh, no."
White neighbor.
Keep walking. No, she's black.
No, that's the thing.
Do you want to hear it? Bro.
You have to record?
Yeah, no, because I was voice noting at the time. So, wait.
Played on them.
I wasn't meant to go to the office today.
She was so cleaning the floor.
I'm literally just on my way now because morning. Sorry? Oh, I just say morning.
I was so sure. I was like, and then,
that killed me.
Yeah. All the neighbors were looking at me and they were like,
I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes when I go to London, and you know, it's just a natural thing. Yo, we're gonna know what's up, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like people are looking at me like I'm crazy, and that's when I'm like, "Oh yeah, shit."
Wait, this is London. Yeah.
I forgot this place is bad vibes. Let me keep myself.
Oh, bro, so mean, man. Like, you know, if someone like elderly ladies in front of you, you'd be like, "Oh yeah, go on." Everyone's just get off my. Yeah, bro.
I think it's just because it's so fast paced.
It's so fast paced.
Because the thing is, even. Like, obviously, Cavan, Navan is so different to Dublin. Like, Dublin people still say hi and everything, but obviously, they're a bigger city than that.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of in their own...
They're all like, yeah, everyone's like, "You're out to get me," type thing.
Even
if you pay for someone, it's like, "Oh, why are you doing that?"
Mm.
It's like,
I think one of my favorite comics, he says the thing about, like, obviously, he's from New York, big city.
That's even, yeah.
Like, it's like, the thing says the thing about getting in wealthy and joy is people don't question his kindness anymore.
Mm.
Is that this whole you had to get me? So he can be kind to people without them thinking he wants something from me
because he's
wealthy. Whereas in those cities, people always think like, "You want something from me, you're trying to make something from me, you're trying to get me something."
Yeah, no, that's weird. Like sometimes there's some certain times where I feel like I would try to be nice and be kind, but then I feel like I'll be looked at like a weirdo, so I just don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know, man. That's, that shit is just weird.
On Jordan's charger, again. Charging with Jordan. So I was applying for a job on LinkedIn. So I go through LinkedIn. Sometimes I just apply, like, I'm very happy in my role. Sometimes I apply for the job for the crack. I was looking at this, oh, this is an end. Let me click apply.
Yeah.
Clicked, applied. Nothing. Today I got
the quick email. Apply?
Yeah,
just quick one.
Yeah, quick, easy apply.
Yeah, easy apply.
I don't know why. Why don't all job posts do the easy
apply? Yeah, yeah.
It don't make no sense to me. And then I was like, I got an email. An email came through that says, you've applied for this job. I look at the hiring senior manager. Was an ex-girlfriend. I was like, oh, well, I'm not getting this job. After I saw who was hiring, I was like, they're not even going to send me a letter of rejection.
Yeah.
This is gone.
Were you toxic to her?
Let me just tell you, from like 15 till 2020,
yeah.
From like 2013 to 2020, I've been toxic in most of my relationships.
Were you a dangerous guy?
Not dangerous. I was just a bit like, I got my heart broken once. I just
decided to stick it out on the
I was that guy. So then I got an email later again. Full email just rejecting me. I was thinking, well, she was so smiling right now.
Yeah,
she was happy. This guy.
I actually got my charger off that. So when I was working at my first job or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like... I like people just being direct with me. Don't be passive aggressive with me.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah.
So I work, granted, I was wrong for this, but I used to just come in like 40 minutes late every day. And my manager, well, one of the managers, how he would address me, he wouldn't say, don't be late. He sent me an email like, oh, fund account to start at 9 o'clock. Like, I don't know that we start, no, at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that we start at 8 o'clock, but whatever. And then even we'd have team meetings. And you know when they're having a team meeting, they're saying all this shit, but they're talking about you.
Mm.
But yeah, so I'll keep coming in like 40 minutes late. I just kind of like treat the guy like a dickhead and move, man. Years later, I get a job interview. I look at the names that are interviewing me. I see his name. I was like, that can't be right. I go into LinkedIn, same guy. I just didn't even show up. I just charged him.
I was like, bro, I'm not getting this.
All right. Well, I think we're good for them. Or anything else you want to bring up?
Nah, I think I've got everything out, to be honest.
Yeah, make sure, just make sure you check in, man.
Just check in, bro.
Look, man, if you come to Vision Lab, make sure you check in with us, man.
Make sure you check in with us when you're pulling up to the house there. Kenneth, you're welcome here anytime. If you want to talk to the boys, if you want to promote anything, or if you just want to have a good laugh, just let Digi know. We can always
Wait. You came here for a reason.
I did, but it just didn't.
Oh, gee, did you?
No, you came here for a reason. Talk, drop what you're dropping, man.
You're talking. Yeah. Sorry, it's calm.
No, I forgot until now.
I forgot too. I was just vibing, like. I came. I just want to bring we have a production company.
It's
called Last Boy Studios.
Last Boy Studios. Where is it based?
It's going to be island based, but obviously we're in London because
we're
based in London. Yeah.
But we come back and forth. But yeah, we're in London. We're going to be in Dublin. It's going to be a Dublin-based company. Looking to really shake some things up in Ireland, you know?
What inspired this?
I want to give other people the opportunity I didn't have.
Oh, you understand.
Do you know what I mean? But I also love film. And if I can't get on other people's sets, how do I get there? Just find it myself, get my own sets.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. And if you go on our socials, at Lost Boy Studios, we always... give little trainee roles or runner roles for anyone that, like, you don't have to have any knowledge at all. Just come on, we'll good vibes and we'll teach you a few things. And then if you're good, we'll have you in our books for something bigger where you're doing nothing and you're getting €200, you know? But yeah, we just want to, not even the black people on the streets, especially my people. Mm-hmm. I really want us to see because they're one of the most... sorry, bro. But they're one of the black people. Even Nigerians for like anything. But they're one of the most creative and just so much creativity and artistic everything. They have so much, but the potential's wasted with the things we do now. So that actually just pains my heart watching it. So I want to just build a place where you can come in and kind of give your craft, show your craft. We don't just do film. We're trying to branch into other things, but
I like that. And I like how you say you're trying to build a platform, because I always say it. Now, yeah, I actually do always say it's like we are trying to create non-traditional paths, like cause it's not this go to school, get a degree. So we're trying to create non-traditional paths. So people that do it after us, their journey will be shorter.
Sure,
what it might take me and Deji 100 episodes to do, it might take you three years to do. We're hoping the next person can do it in 10 episodes here.
Yeah,
and we're
hoping
that we can also, like, you're showing them ropes. I'm like, you know what? It didn't, now that I have the knowledge, I know it doesn't need to be that hard for you
hard
for next generation. An example I would say, Wally had to exist for us to have Stormzy. Like, it's the next generation are going to do it quicker, better, faster, and they're going to be able to monetize it because they have more knowledge than
But I think that you need to be graceful in giving that torch on to the next person.
Exactly.
And not say, nah, I'm going to hold this until it burns.
And that's the thing. I was thinking, what's the knowledge going to do in my head? I might as well pass it on. It's just, if I have all of this knowledge on how to, like, do film photography and videography, I'm like, why am I holding on to this?
It's just going to
waste it. But an example of that is like someone like Drake, who's made it, and he always like finds the next rapper up and the next. Mm. Then he does a song with them, and then when they blow, they do a song.
And he just blows keep existing, as well.
If you do it that way, so
yeah. But you know, people are insecure. Like like, if I share all this with him, he might come take my spot. Especially black people as well.
Yeah, but you can't. That makes no sense. You can't outwork me. what? Like, okay, friend. I think you're insecure because you know that you're not putting as much effort as you have. So if you give your knowledge to some other kid that's hungry, he's going to pass you out, and that's what you're scared of. But if you're actually truly working hard, someone can pass you out, because if you're driving at 90 kilometers and they're also driving at 90 kilometers, but you're ahead, your boat,
you can't catch you.
Physically, it's impossible. Slowing off the gas that someone can catch you. But anyway, on this podcast, please hold me accountable if we don't do what we say we're doing.
100%.
You can look, drag me.
I'm going to call him and be like, bro, man, I'm free. Book me.
book me. But yeah, no, that's what I said. Just check out social. We always just post it up there.
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys Studios. First come, first served. Whoever is there.
Where'd you get the name from? Because, like, genuinely, I find it impossible to come up with names.
Really?
Impossible.
So the name came from a chicken shop. It's called Lost Boys Chicken. And I love that place, bro.
You know,
people are like,
I thought it was going to be in depth. I was like, you know,
I
felt like a lost boy in the first time. So I was like, oh, that chicken shop, bro.
People are like, people always think it's something to do with Christianity. Like, you're lost soul and then you're
about
the
prodigal son.
I'm like, nah, chicken shop, I love, bro. Chicken shop. And the place closed down, so.
Oh, yeah, that name is
mine. Bro.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you again.
Yeah, like I said, anything you ever want to come down and talk to us.
Yeah, promo. Anything. Now you're doing a bit of a promo run as well. You did it.
We've got a short film in production.
That's all right. Let's wrap up.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
No, keep going.
Oh, yeah, we have a short film that we're shooting this weekend. That's why I'm here. Okay. So we're just trying to do some promo for that. And yeah, it should come out. I don't know when you're posting, but it should come out a month.
This is coming out next Wednesday.
So. Is it? So yeah. So say a month from Wednesday, it should be out.
Yeah, bro.
But yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to get my acting bag, my extra bag. You know,
extra bag.
Voice acting. You know what to go through.
You know. Yeah. I'm actually.
You
actually,
could, bro. You.
And the thing is, I actually need to take it seriously. Yeah. It's once again, it's just about actually. You know when it's like you say you're gonna do something, but it's like starting and like even I was gonna say because like Jordan was like sometimes it's just about letting people know that this is another path you can take.
I
don't think I've actually said this out loud, but like when I was in sixth year, I didn't know anybody that was doing anything crazy, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, bro, I didn't know engineering was a course. Like I didn't know, like, cause there's no engineering in my school.
I didn't know
half of these courses out there were legit things. You get what I'm saying? So like, I didn't know that there's runners and directors, assistant directors, screen this, blah, blah, blah. Bro, all I know is there's one person acting and there's probably someone behind the camera.
That's it.
But you get what I'm saying? You don't know about all the little intricate details and all that kind of stuff. So like, it's cool to actually just be like, oh, rah, I know somebody that does that. Or I know somebody that does that. Or I know somebody that knows somebody. Mm. Like at this point, like what? We're one degree away from separation, knowing someone that is on Virgin Media. What's called 1 degree of separation from knowing someone that's shooting ads for Porsche and Brown Thomas and all that.
That I got a message for. Thank you.
John,
you made my day like, there. But anyway.
Bro, it's crazy. Like, it's so crazy now that how close people are.
Yeah.
Like, you really could be like three people away from knowing somebody. Somebody crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, yeah, cameras are dead, so we can't really continue this. If you've been watching it on, you're probably just seeing Kenan now. But if you're listening on Spotify, you've listened to the whole thing. And if you made it to the end of the pod and you didn't like anything that was said here, well,
charge it.
Thank you for listening.
That was fun, man.
That was fun. Thank you for coming, bro.
No worries. Pleasure. That was pretty cool, man. Oh, I forgot to give you the gift I was talking about. So anyway, I'll just tell you. So remember that kit that I was giving away that someone else won?
Yeah.
So it kept bouncing back. So we have it. I'm just gonna give the guy 150, and then you can just have the kit.
Oh, like the
license, the second camera.
Oh shit!
Oh, mad.
Thank you, bro, man. I fucking appreciate
that. That's the best podcast gift.
Other people gave podcast gifts, but they think podcast gift like this.
Yeah,
you couldn't even record it, man.